The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew.
Glory to you.
When Jesus heard of the death of John the Baptist, he withdrew in a boat to a deserted place by himself. The crowds heard of this and followed him on foot from their towns. When he disembarked and saw the vast crowd, his heart was moved with pity for them, and he cured their sick. When it was evening, the disciples approached him and said, "This is a deserted place, and it is already late. Dismiss the crowds so that they can go to the villages and buy food for themselves." Jesus said to them, "There is no need for them to go away. Give them some food yourselves." But they said to him, "Five loaves and two fish are all we have here." Then he said, "Bring them here to me." And he ordered the crowds to sit down on the grass. Taking the five loaves and the two fish and looking up to heaven, he said the blessing, broke the loaves, and gave them to the disciples, who in turn gave them to the crowds. They all ate and were satisfied. And they picked up the fragments left over, 12 wicker baskets full. Those who ate were about 5,000 men, not counting women and children. The Gospel of the Lord.
Come, Creator Spirit, come through Mary. Awake in our hearts and wed us to the eternal word of the Father. Amen. Both this Sunday's Gospel and next Sunday's Gospel have a common theme. And you might be a little impressed right now thinking, wow, our priest knows what next Sunday's Gospel is already. But that's because your priest started preparing the wrong Sunday homily. So I'm a little ahead. But I feel that it was God's providence that made this happen, because I couldn't help but read today's actual gospel through the lens of the gospel I was reading mistakenly. This Sunday we hear, as we just heard, the miraculous feeding of more than 5,000 people. And next Sunday, spoiler alert, cover your ears if you don't want to know, we have Jesus walking across the water when he calls Peter out onto the water with him. And this common theme that there is between these two readings is that in both cases, God is doing the impossible, and he invites our human participation in it. Peter is just a mere human. He can't walk on water. And yet, the Lord says, "Peter, come out on the water." And he does. And until he loses faith, he's able to do it. In today's gospel, I find it entertaining, this exchange at the beginning between Jesus and his apostles. They're like, "Hey, Jesus, it's getting a little late. You might want to send these thousands and thousands of people home so they can get something to eat." And Jesus says, "Oh, don't worry about that. You give them something to eat." And of course, they say, "All we have are these measly five loaves and two fish." And then Jesus says, "Bring it to me. Bring it to me." We're seeing a glimpse of how does God react when we're before a task that by our own power would be impossible. What is in God's heart when we have a task ahead of us that by our own power is impossible? There's an old saying, if you want to know where Jesus meets you in your life, he meets you where you have a good desire that you cannot fulfill. He meets us where we have a good desire. Maybe it's a desire for holiness, desire to overcome a sin, desire for a certain spiritual discipline. Maybe it's for a healing in a physical way, maybe a healing within one's family, healing of a past trauma, an emotional wound. Where does Jesus meet us? Where we have a good desire that we cannot fulfill. Or another way we can look at it, it's funny because Jesus tells them, you give them something to eat. And he commands Peter next week, you come out on the water. And sometimes it can feel that what God asks of us is something we're unable to fulfill. It can almost feel that sometimes we're too weak or too fallen or too broken to fulfill all of God's commandments that he gives us. But it's exactly there where he meets us. You see, my friends, when we're unable to rise to the occasion, we tend to become inward facing. We tend to feel a sense of shame or humiliation, especially if it's something we repeatedly fail at, or if it's something where we repeatedly fall short. But we're seeing a glimpse into God's heart, that is a purely human response to our sin and our weakness. And the divine response is something altogether more marvelous. So he tells them, you feed the more than 5,000 people. And they say, we can't. All we have are 5 loaves and 2 fish. And so at that moment, he meets where they have the good desire that they're unable to fulfill. And he does the miraculous. And the same is true in our lives. When we are unable to fulfill our good desires, our holy intentions, it's exactly there where Jesus meets us, because he doesn't get discouraged like we do. He doesn't feel let down by us like we feel let down by ourselves. No. If he wanted, with a snap of his finger, he could make it happen immediately. And so for some reason, Jesus is far more comfortable with us being dependent on him than we are. For some reason, he's okay with the fact that we don't get it right all the time if it brings us back to him. He's okay with the fact that we fall short if it leads us to realize that we depend on him, and not to leave us stuck in our own self-reliance. The heart of God can do impossible things with human participation when we simply surrender to the fact that we can't, but he can. Or another way of saying that, when we admit that we can't, so that he must. Our good desires were placed there to be fulfilled, not by us, weak and sinful people that we are, but our good desires were put here to be filled by him. Our job is to persevere and to trust him that he will fulfill those good desires. Maybe not in the way that we imagine, like the apostles, but with something far more marvelous. Now, trust and perseverance are hard to muster, but for us, he's given us the strengthening of his word and the strengthening of his body and blood in the Eucharist and the strengthening of his grace in the other sacraments, so that as we get discouraged, which is foreign to his heart, he doesn't get discouraged, that we have places to turn so that we might continue trusting that he will fulfill these good desires and persevering until he does. Amen.
Amen.